The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you work for a city council member, I'm sorry. I don't think you should be going to protests. It's Jason. Welcome to Hour 2 of Drive Time. This came up at a city council meeting yesterday. Remember the chaotic scene when federal agents came and stormed a Mexican restaurant on Lake Street in Minneapolis? And in a time where there's a lot of uncertainty, right, about immigration action. And look, I'm very in favor of going out there and getting people who are criminals, who are in this country illegally, and sending them back. I am less enthusiastic, to say the least, about rounding up sort of law-abiding, otherwise law-abiding citizens. But I understand, like, people have different views on immigration. But when this raid happened, there were officers wearing ICE markings and patching. And so you can understand why people sort of lost their mind that, oh, no, here come the feds rounding up our neighbors. Well, it turned out that it was a federal aid related to drug trafficking and money trafficking. And it wasn't an ICE operation. They had a couple ICE agents supporting, but there was no ICE activity going on. So whatever, the facts of it don't really matter. The reality is we're in an absolute environment of lunacy that once you start getting a little bit of a protest going, you know, the word spreads and it doesn't really matter what the truth was. And so there was an after action review. And we talked about this the other day, sort of the failure by the mayor's office to more aggressively and effectively communicate with city council members as to what was going on. And you say, like, all right, you're going to, you know, and I think the mayor deservedly gets ripped for that. And you say, look, we're in a rapid response environment. We need to get quick information out, not just to the community, not just to your team, but also to city council members. And so I think the mayor correctly gets ripped. Well, at a city council meeting, part of this after action report took a look at a handful of aides to city council members. Three city council aides were on the front lines of this protest. And in fact, they weren't just on the front lines. The Minnesota Star Tribune has a photo that has, like, these guys, like, at a minimum, they're right up in the federal agent's business. At a maximum, they're like, they're like aggressively interfering in what's going on with the federal agents. My view is this. If you work for a city council member, you work for the city. And I'm not saying if you work for the city, you should never be able to go to a protest. I'm certainly not arguing that. But I am saying you should maybe butt out and sit on it when there's a breaking, developing, emotional protest happening. If you want to go to next Saturday's protest against ICE, fine. If you want to go to the No Kings protest, fine. You can go to whatever protest you want. But this sort of rapid response, there's a federal operation going on, people flood the zone. If you work for the city, you work for the city. You are not working for a political candidate. You are not supposed to be a political person in that moment. You are a representative of the city. And when you're in the middle of it, and this is Council Vice President Aisha Chugtai's aide, Jeremiah Ellison's aide, also right in the middle, and then Aisha Chugtai's senior policy aide. All three of these guys right in the middle of the stuff. One of them, like Jeremiah Ellison's aide, is like holding a megaphone. You work for the taxpayers. Butt out. Sit out. 651-461-9226. I believe there are times that your job requires you to sacrifice some of your First Amendment rights. This is called being an adult. When I was a television news journalist, I did not put yard signs in front of my house. I did not campaign for certain candidates. I didn't campaign for anybody. I did the news. Was I allowed to do any of that? No. Did I come crying that, oh no, my First Amendment rights are being abridged? No. Because adults, when you make a decision to get a job, sometimes you have to weigh what you're doing. You got to weigh. And if you do not want to give up your 100% right to go to 100% of the protests you want, then don't work for the city. Work for a campaign, work for a political party, work for an activist group. Don't work for the city. Grow up. We've talked before about the fact that I am concerned in Minneapolis that for the last several election cycles, we have been electing people who are more interested in being activists in certain issues than they are in being leaders for the community. And it seems that this is what the voters want. It's what they're electing. And it's what their council members are doing. But I think it's dangerous. It's dangerous. And the city auditor questioned why these aides took part in the protest. Now, they clocked out, which, you know, okay. Like, this is sort of the crock about working for the city, right? Like, Dan, if you wanted to take part in a protest and you wanted to go from, you know, 10 a.m. until 11, mm-hmm. you would probably not have to clock out. I don't know. Part of like you had to clock out because you can't have taxpayers paying you when you're at a protest. The fact they knew to clock out to me is again an indicator that like this wasn't the brightest idea.
I think, you know, look, there's a difference between the wisdom of the idea and the basic right of the idea. I mean, if you're a city council person, should that or a city council aide, you're employee of the city.
You work for the city.
Should that then define what you can do any other time in your life?
Yes.
And I struggle with getting to that conclusion. I understand, like, when you talk about yard signs as a journalist, there's a journalistic ethic, but you're still making that choice.
Not really. Like, the company tells you, you can't do that stuff.
But that's a journalistic ethic idea. That's not a free speech idea.
You're splitting a hair. Yeah,
but
you're being told you cannot express your. You certainly have the right. To me, there's no question that they have the right to do it.
Right.
Should you have a personal ethical challenge? Should you do it? You also have a city policy challenge. And that is what the city auditor raised, where he's like, look, we don't have a very specific policy on this, but maybe we should.
Well, and especially if there isn't a city policy on it, then I think they're completely in the clear in going and doing this. Now, behavior at a protest, that's a whole separate idea, right? There's behavior that's appropriate for protesting, and then there's, you know, becoming violent and physically interacting with the officers at the protest. That's a whole other level, right? That's no matter who you are, protesting in that way is unhelpful and wrong. But yeah, if the city doesn't tell them that they can't go do this, I would, to me, free speech rights aren't absolute, but you have to give me a really compelling reason why, you know, you're going to make an exception to them. And I'm not sure being employed by the city to me is enough.
Yeah. For me, it is. I think, especially when you're protesting law enforcement, which there were Minneapolis police officers who were there. Part of the reason that these city council aides were there protesting is because people thought that Minneapolis police were cooperating with ICE. And so if I live in, you know, Aisha Chugtai's ward, and I see her policy aide, who I know works for Aisha Chugtai because they've been at, you know, town hall meetings or whatever, and I see that somebody who works for the city council member protesting against law enforcement, well, does that cause a danger? Does that undermine, you're essentially protesting against the city? You're protesting against your police department. To me, it leads to confusion when you agree to work for the city as a policy aide, work on policy. You don't need to run down to a protest in the middle of things. I do think sometimes your job means you give up certain rights. It has to be voluntary, but it could be a policy, as was my example. I agreed to the policy. If I didn't want the policy, like, go work somewhere else.
We can agree that given the current makeup of this Minneapolis City Council, the notion that there's going to be a policy that would restrict protest rights in any way is a fantasy, right? That there's zero chance that happens.
The council members told the Star Tribune, At a time when the Trump administration is separating families and disappearing loved ones, people of conscience should act in solidarity with communities under attack. Okay. Allison said at the meeting that the aides were on their own time. And he condemned federal law enforcement's assault on his staff, that his aide was repeatedly shoved in the back. I just think in the middle of a day, emergency response, go to all the protests you want. But when you're in the heat of it, responding, I think it's irresponsible. 421, back in just a minute here on Drive Time.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an awesome Twins Ticket Tuesday today, because we are giving away tickets for this Friday's game against the Detroit Tigers. So you got a big series, Detroit Tigers, 7:10 first pitch. And after the game, there's a Dustin Lynch concert. So I was at the Nelly concert after the Twins game, the last time they had this. And you get the concert just with your ticket to the game. It's pretty cool. Now, some people ponied up for the VIP. And the VIP, after the game is over and they're like rolling out, is quite impressive. They turn the field into like a concert venue in like 20 minutes. So they're rolling out the speakers and the stage and the whole bit. And while they do that, they bring the fancy people,
the VIP people,
down to the field. And I will say this.
How are you not part of the VIP experience? That's kind of how you roll.
You know, I'm glad you bring this up. It's an excellent question. I would say that the number of people who were down at the VIP, it was fewer people than I thought there would be.
Really?
But I think they limit it because, you know, it's kind of a pain to usher all these people down.
I suppose it takes time. And
So anyway, twins.com/Dustin Lynch. And now I'm looking at the VIP feel. Oh, they had a denim shirt package. Ooh. That sold out.
How about that?
That's gone.
So,
but we're going to give it away. Is that,
before we get to Twins pregame at 5:30.
Yeah.
Keep listening. When you hear the Win Twins sounder,
right?
Caller number 3 gets 4 tickets to go see this game, and you get to check out Dustin Lynch at the same time.
Pretty cool.
That's not bad.
So the concert, I thought it would be like a 25-minute concert. Nelly did an hour.
Wow.
So it's like a...
it's a high bar for Dustin Lynch to meet.
Dustin better not kind of shank it. No. You know what I mean? So in just a couple of days, it is State Fair time. Yeah. What is today? Tuesday?
Today's Tuesday, so it's a week from Thursday.
And today, the Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal got their hands on the data for how much money the food vendors made last year.
Mm.
So we all know who made the most money.
Sweet Martha.
Right? Sweet Martha.
Yeah.
Sweet Martha made $4.9 million.
Good for her.
Good for her?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sweet Martha's... now, this is just revenue. So don't think like...
so this is gross. This isn't...
this is gross.
Right.
Because the way you pay to be at the state fair, the way you pay the fair, is a percentage of your gross revenue. So Sweet... that's why they track this. So Sweet Martha, $4.9 million. Her rent for 3 locations is...
not cheap.
I think it's 15% of that. So you're like, all right, if you're making $4.9 million,
he's taking off his shoes to do the math.
Times 15%, that's $735,000.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Who do you think is number two?
Ooh.
Number two.
Would it be...
it's another icon.
Is it a classic? Is it like the Pronto Pup stands?
Pronto Pup is correct.
Hey, how about that?
Very good, Dan. You have not seen this, so you don't know.
I know. I honestly have not. So.
Pronto Pup, $2.3 million, 8 sites. So there's a lot of stands
sure.
for Pronto Pup. Next is a spot with 1 site, just 1 site.
Ooh. The Corn Roast?
Corn Roast is top 10, $1.3 million for the Corn Roast. Now, bear in mind, Martha's got almost 5 mil.
Yeah.
So it's kind of 5 mil.
And then it drops off precipitously.
2.3 for Pronto, 1.6 mil for the cheese curds. The cheese curds. And then everybody's sort of in that ballpark. Perfect pickle, so the deep fried pickle, 1.5 mil. Fresh French fries, the dairy association, then corn. I think the one that people are most surprised about is Caveat. Caveat is the giant, giant egg roll. And they're just in like a food truck type thing. $1 million, Caveat. Blue Barn, almost 900,000. But then they make money from beer too. Beer is separate. So this is just food revenue. Pretty crazy. It is 4:31. We're going to break. When we come back, DeRussia Eats. A story of a family that was at a, there was a near-death experience. And then they bought a beloved apple orchard. But they're changing it quite a bit. Pretty cool stuff going on in Minnetrista. We'll talk to the owner of Everly Farms in just a minute here on CCO.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And DeRussia Eats is brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board. The near-death experience that led a local couple to buy an apple orchard. Pretty interesting situation that goes back to COVID. Frank and Esther Weigel have really created something special at Everly Farms. You may remember it by its old name, Minnetonka Orchards. But it's more than just the orchards now. And Frank is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline for DeRussia Eats. Frank, it's good to visit with you.
Nice to meet you, Jason.
Tell me, take me back to that time in 2020 when you realized that, you know, you had a second chance at life and you wanted to make it count.
Yeah, it was a rough time. So I remember once I woke up, I was, you know, in a coma for about a month. I, you know, my wife asked me what I really wanted to do. And, you know, I always had this thought I wanted an apple orchard, you know, in my, there's a long history in my family back a long time ago having orchards. And my dad and I, at one point, were looking at orchards. And, you know, I decided at that point I wanted to sell my company, retire, spend more time with my, you know, young twins, boy, girl, and just wanted to spend more time with them. So with selling my company and retiring, you know, I still needed something to do. I like to keep busy. And so an orchard came up for sale, and it was fairly close to our house. And so we decided to buy it. And so we kind of ran with it from there. And it was a great place. And then Lowell and Phyllis Schapper created Minnetonka Orchards, and we met with them several times. And when we decided to purchase it from them, and we wanted to kind of keep within the spirit of keeping an apple orchard. I think a lot of people want to do something different with it. So yeah, and it just kind of evolved, and we're trying to create a more of a year-round experience there now.
You guys bought the orchard in 2021, right? So you've been kind of slowly and thoughtfully creating what it is that you want it to be.
Correct. Yeah. And so for years, you know, the shoppers were getting older, and so we first came in and, you know, updated a lot of things, added a, you know, a few, you know, attractions for kids. They had at one point tried to make wine, so they had some wine making equipment. So initially, we bought it just for the orchard, but since they had wine making equipment, we thought, you know, my wife and I, Esther, you know, we love wine. We decided to give a shot at making some wine. And, of course, you know, left, we found an amazing, talented winemaker, John Reeves, hired him and ran with it.
Because, Frank, like, if you love wine, you had to be a little afraid about straight up making only Minnesota grape wine, right?
Correct. So, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I did know a little bit about wine. And, you know, wine is interesting grapes that, you know, there's a lot. It's like food. You can give the same chef, you know, the same ground beef, and then make two different hamburgers, right?
Exactly.
And
yeah.
So, you know, a talented winemaker, it's not just taking the grapes and crushing them and putting them in the bottle. You know, there's a lot of things that go involved. It's, you know, how you grow the grapes and how you maintain the grapes. You know, you have to really be on top of good farming practices to make the highest quality grapes. And then once you have the grapes, you know, it's how you blend the grapes, how you how long you age them, you know, put them in the barrels, and so on. So there's a lot you could do to, I don't want to say manipulate, but it basically is manipulating,
yeah,
just like food, to create something. And so, you know, a lot of it goes into blending and you know, other things. So he's done a absolutely amazing job. And we were, you know, pleasantly shocked at his first run. You know, when you first start this and you hire a winemaker, you never know exactly what you're going to get. But we were extremely pleased with the product that he produced. And we just keep evolving as we go.
We are visiting with Frank Weigel. It is called Everly Farms in Minnetrista. And you are, you know, the orchard part of things. You're probably gearing up, right? We're close to the early season apples starting to come in.
Yes. So we should be open. We're looking to open the weekend before Labor Day, which is like August 30th range. So right now is kind of, we've got a lot going on trying to get the orchard ready. We also have our big charity event, Quirks for the Cause, coming up this Saturday. So we have a sequence along with our grand opening of the restaurant on Sunday. So we have a lot going on within the next couple of weeks to get this orchard and ready to go for the public to come.
Are you glad that you bought it? Has it been more work in some ways than you expected, or what, you know, all of us, if you're in that moment of like, what would I want to do with the rest of my life? You might think that the orchard sounds pretty good. And then now a couple of years in, you're like, well, I don't know. Was this crazy?
You know, it's funny because I had some my former employees came out to visit, and they looked at me and said, "You work harder now when you actually than when you actually work." But it's fun because you know I like the variety of things we're doing. There is the crunch time of the season. That's you know it's so much fun, but it's also you know when it ends, you get a little bit of a break there. You know during the winter time. So no, we absolutely love it. It's great to have something because we're very family oriented. So. It's great to have something where we could have, you know, our twins are 6 years old right now, and we have three older kids. But it's great to have something where you can go to work and you can actually have your kids with you. Mm-hmm. For years, I worked in long hours, and I wasn't able to, you know, attend all the kids' stuff, and my kids couldn't go to work with me. But we absolutely love it. It's feel, you know, productive and fulfilled at the end of the day when we're done with the, you know, done with the day.
What was your old company, Frank?
So I was in the waste recycling business in California. And so I did that my entire career, and then ended up selling that in the end of 2021.
Wow, so cool! You think like, all right, you're always in the business of taking sort of natural resources and trying to turn it into something else, and that's sort of the same thing you're working on right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a different end of the process, really.
Right. So. Our guest is Frank Weigel from Everly Farms. Now, part of what you've done with Everly Farms is you've got the orchard, you've got the winery, and I'll have you talk about Corks for a Cause in just a minute. But you've also created a restaurant there called The Table, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so when we first started the winery, we thought about the tasting room. And so one of the things that always drove me nuts about when I went to Napa, is, you know, we previously were from California. You go to Napa and you go out wine tasting and none of the wineries had food. And
right.
So,
yes.
You know, you're drinking wine, you get, you know, hungry. And also, you know, you want to help absorb some of that wine.
Well, no doubt. Yes.
You know, but when you go to other places, like if you wine taste in Italy, they serve food, you know. So the one thing we thought is when we had the tasting room, we want to have food also. And so we hired Tom Grittner as our head chef, amazing chef, and he's created a great menu. And so we really kind of turned it into it's a restaurant tasting room. We call The Table at Everly Farms, where, you know, we'll be open Thursday through Sunday. Right now we're doing a soft opening. Sunday's our grand opening. But yeah, everything so far has been fantastic. The idea is we have a lot of, everything is served to share. I mean, we have our wood-fired pizzas that we were popular for pizza nights on Wednesday nights out in our wine garden, but we have the same pizzas that we're serving inside the restaurant now. So
cool.
Along with a bunch of starters, different, salads. You know, we have also steak and the chicken and a burger, some pasta. So we have a variety of items.
This weekend, you've got Corks for a Cause going on out at Everly Farms. It's on the 16th. Tell us what you're raising money for.
Yeah, so this is our third annual. So this was kind of my wife's brainchild when we first started. She, you know, wanted to get back to the community and do something, especially targeted towards children. I mean, we're big, you know, family, kids, people. So we got connected with Crescent Cove. And Crescent Cove, if you haven't heard of them, they are the only hospice-rested children's center in Minnesota. And I think one of four in the country. So terminally ill kids, a lot of times, you know, one of the parents have to quit their jobs to take care of the child. And what Crescent Cove does is, it kind of relieves the parents, say, if they want to go out and take their other kids on a trip. So they'll bring the child to their center, and Crescent Cove will take care of the child. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, during the last days of life, they also will take care of it. So, you know, it's kind of away from the other kids, because it could really affect, you know, the whole family dynamics there. So it's an amazing operation. My wife and I have toured out there, and it's just absolutely amazing what they do, the care they give for these kids. And so most of their funding is through donations. So they get, I think, a little bit of money, you know, through some of the family's medical insurance, Medicaid. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but
sure.
I want to say, you know, 75-80% comes from just donations. And so this charity that we're putting on, we bring in other local wineries to serve wine along with ours. We serve our wood-fired pizzas, and we have some other restaurants from the area. They're going to, you know, have like a small dish to serve food. We'll have a live auction. We have live music.
Nice.
So it's just a great event to raise money. And we auction off some great vacations to different homes around the country. And 100% of the proceeds goes directly to Crescent Cove.
Oh,
so
wow.
All the expenses,
cool.
Yeah. So 100% of the expenses are paid for by Esther and I. And so we don't deduct a dime from what people donate to the charity.
Well, it's this Saturday. If you want to, you can just Google Corks for a Cause. It'll take you right to the page at everlyfarmswinery.com. But really great stuff this weekend. I hope a ton of people come out and can't wait to get out there and check out the restaurant and apple season right around the corner. So plenty of people will be going out to Minnetrista to see Everly Farms. Frank Weigel, really great to meet you and great to talk to you. And thanks for spending some time with us today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
There it is. Jerusha Eats, brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board. We'll break. When we come back, Dan Cook has a Taylor Swift conspiracy theory. The big news that Taylor Swift is releasing another new album. We'll talk about it in just a minute. All right, the Twins at the Yankees. How do the Yankees just have our number? They always do.
They have forever.
They're still, like, the Yankees are 63-56, sort of the inverse of our record, but they've been sort of down in the dumps of lately, but nothing
doesn't matter.
No better salve.
They could be 0 for the season and they'd find a way to beat the Twins.
I'm going
to
say our temp is Luke cold. We were lukewarm. We're now like trending cold. 6-2 last night. Twins and Yankees back in action tonight at Yankee Stadium. Pregame starting here at 5:30.
The temp is screw you, Yankees.
We hate the Yankees. They're so good.
Ugh. Against us.
Taylor Swift announced that she is releasing another album. And my reaction was not the first thought that Dan had. Your first thought was...
And I knew that this wasn't true, but I kind of wanted it to be. I thought, is this a reaction to the president the other day during the Sydney Sweeney controversy? Pointing out how cold Taylor Swift had become after he had criticized her.
Said she's a woke singer who is no longer hot.
Yes. He's messed with her career, and look how unsuccessful she's going to be here to four. So I thought, well, here's the new album. Swifties go crazy. This will be great.
She's still hot,
yeah.
Everybody. She's doing fine. And so is her football boyfriend, Travis Kelce.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.